Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, for those of you who perhaps did not catch yesterday's broadcast, I want to do just a little bit of a review. As I began yesterday's broadcast, I said the Word of God is so important to us because it's profitable, as Paul told Timothy, for doctrine, for reproof, and instruction in righteousness. Reproof obviously refers to areas that would be displeasing to the Lord, the sins of all kinds, carnality, things, works of the flesh, whereas instruction of righteousness is an example of how we might learn the ways of the Lord, His will, as we see exampled in and exemplified, if you will, in the life of Jesus. He was the first disciple, if you will. He was discipled of His Father, and He gave us an example of how we should live. And so I have been sharing about it's the sin of presumption, to avoid presumption. And just to give a very brief review in terms of what it means, it is, by definition, it means haughty, disdainful, proud, or prideful, overbearing, assuming, contemptuous, impertinent, impudent, domineering, conceited, assuming, taking a liberty, making free with, to jump to conclusions, to forejudge or prejudge, to come to a hasty conclusion. In other words, in terms of that, those latter interpretations or understandings of to presume, it means that in one's own ideas, one's own opinion, you think you have all the facts necessary to arrive at an opinion, and that's your, in many cases, wrong. We need to hear the entire matter, if you will. And just a few scriptures to share with you, and then I'll share some new scriptures that we didn't share yesterday. Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. And this is a very significant scripture. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction. We need to really hear that, because that is a spiritual principle. Pride goes before destruction. Now, in terms of the wicked, those, you know, if they will not hear and be reproved by the Holy Spirit, who deals with every heart, God's not willing that any should perish. They continually refuse, and ultimately it will lead to their full, total destruction, their eternal destruction in the lake of fire, if you will. And a haughty spirit before a fall. And for those who do name the name of the Lord, if we are not careful, it is possible, in terms of our past life, how we were before we were saved, because everyone is in a different place, or because of accolades and success and doing well, even spiritually, the danger is that we can be influenced by the things people tell us, and so our opinion of ourselves could be far more exalted than what the Lord sees. And so the only safe way to walk before the Lord is to be of a humble heart and a humble spirit. The Lord resists the proud, but he dwells with the humble. Amen. He loves those who are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Now, let me share just a few more passages, a couple from Proverbs, and then I'll give you some examples in the Word, as I said I would do, because the purpose of the scripture is to give us tangible, practical, real-life examples of what happens to those who obey God or disobey God. What are the consequences? What are the results? And therefore, our teaching, our learning, our instruction, our example. Proverbs 21:4 says, "A high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin." That's the King James. What does the plowing of the wicked mean? Well, it means the standards which govern the lives of the wicked, how they, their lifestyle, if you will, their arrogant life and attitudes. That's sin. God hates pride. Why? Because that was the first sin of Lucifer when he thought he could compare himself to God. He would be like the Most High. He would ascend above the throne. He would, one wonders that any created being, although he was the most perfect of God's creation, he was beautiful. He was perfect in beauty until the day that iniquity was found in him. He was the lead worship angel, the covering angel over the throne of God. My goodness, what a position of privilege. And so, that happens many times when we are in great privilege, when we are successful, and we have the blessings, all the blessings our heart could desire. If we're not careful, we can fall prey to the sin of presumption or pride. Proverbs 28 and 25 says, "He that is of a proud heart," listen to this, "stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." This means, we'll interpret the in another format, if you will. This means an arrogant person will stir up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. That's what it means, shall be made fat. And again, that Proverbs 11:2, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame. With the lowly is wisdom." And so when someone is prideful, it stirs up contention. Proverbs 13:10, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Okay, now let's go to the New Testament, 1 John 2:16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh," I think we can understand that, "the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Now, I promised I would share some scriptural examples of presumptuousness. Well, starting way back at the beginning in Exodus 5:2, the king of, or Pharaoh, if you will, of Egypt, he was withstanding Moses' declaration when God said to let his people go. His heart was hardened, and he said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Well, it took 10 plagues, but finally he was willing to obey God when the firstborn of every family was lost in death. Now, let's look at some other examples from the Word of God. Let's look at Naaman, and this is 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and verses 1 through 14, but I'm not going to read them all. I'll just read some highlights. Naaman, I'm looking at verse 1 now, he was captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man with his master and honorable. Okay, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was also a leper. And so in Naaman's wife had a little mistress, and she said, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy or heal him." And so then one told the Lord, his Lord, and said, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And so the king of Syria said, "Go, I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel." He departed, he brought monies with him, and sure enough, he came to Elisha. I'm omitting quite a bit. And when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, because he thought, uh-oh, he's trying to provoke a war with me, that he sent to the king saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot. He stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And what did Elisha do? He didn't even go out to meet him. He sent a messenger and said, "Go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Well, this was a man of influence. He was wroth. He was angry. He went away and he said, "Behold, I thought," this again, presumption, right? "He'll surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." And then he puts down the Jordan. He said, "Aren't the Abana, the Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Can I wash on them and be clean?" And he went away in a rage. It says, "And then one of his servants came near, and he said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?'" That was a humbling experience. He had a little matter of pride, this Naaman did. And, well, I mean, he was very successful. He had a reputation. So you know what? At least he had wisdom. He listened to what the servant said. He went down, verse 14, and dipped himself, not once, but 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And guess what? His flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Praise God. So this was a lesson for Naaman. He learned humility, and with that, the blessing that comes when you obey the Spirit of the Lord. Well, my time has just flown. I just love that story, and I've got another one to share with you tomorrow from that same chapter. I invite you to tune in, and we will share about Gehazi. All right, well, my time is drawing to a close, and as always, I invite my partners, my listeners, to, if you have a need, or even if you're just being blessed by the broadcast, God, if you feel the unction to write, note down that contact information. God has a reason for doing it. So many, I've gotten files and files of testimonies like, "That was just the word I needed to hear." I don't know that. And sometimes they don't, you know, they don't even send a prayer request. They just send like an offering, or just pray for me, or something general, unspoken. God knows. I don't know, but God knows your situation. I love you, and I want you to know, my UCM family and my radio family, I pray for you every day without fail. I love you. Thank God for you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.